Today on The Journey.
John's going to give us a list of things we can confirm our walk with Christ. And the three things he begins with are these: walking in the light, cleansed once and for all, and then confession and acknowledgement of sin.
Walking through this sin-stained world, you're going to get dirty. So how do you keep those stains from setting deep into your soul? Well, in this half hour, Ron Moore offers dirt-busting instructions for having a white-as-wool heart. First, I want you to know about Ron's life-changing publication on prayer. It's titled Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life. This PDF booklet explores the often mystifying practice of prayer with thoughts gleaned from key scripture passages. It's available for a gift of any amount, and you'll find it at ronmoore.org. Your donation today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a message titled, Cleansed on the Journey.
Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John, find the book of Revelation, the last book, and turn back four books. You're going to be at the book of 1 John. While you're turning there, let's take a moment just to set the context of 1 John, written by the last living apostle at the time. John was probably in his 70s or 80s in a day when the life expectancy was below 50. So John is an old man in his day, and he is an elder statesman in the church. When people saw John, they said that guy was one of the 12 disciples. John carried weight. After living in Jerusalem for a time, he moved to Ephesus. Most people think he wrote this book from Ephesus, and he wrote it to the surrounding churches in Ephesus. Ephesus was in Asia Minor at that time. Today it's in southwestern Turkey. And so all the churches surrounding that, probably the churches in Revelation. So he writes this letter, and he writes this letter for five reasons. Number one, he wants to encourage true Christian belonging. First, John is about loving one another and what that looks like in real life. Secondly, to help believers experience true joy. What is it like to follow hard after Christ and find meaning and purpose in your life? To help believers, number three, avoid falling into patterns of sin. John throughout will talk about this. We'll see some of that today. Number four, to guard against false teaching. There was a lot of error going on at that time. And John said, you got to know what the truth is. And then five, to allow believers to know with certainty that they are children of God and will forever be. That comes from 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So I'm writing to believers. And I'm writing this so you will know, not think, not hope, but you will know you have eternal life. So right there, John tells us that as a believer, you can know for certain right now, today, that when you die, you will wake up and spend eternity in heaven. Can you think of anything more important to know? And John says, one of the reasons I'm writing this book is so you will know that. He says, I write these things to you. Now that's key, isn't it? Because we got to figure out what these things are. What are the things that John is writing so we can know to confirm our relationship with the Lord? John's going to give us a list of things we need to know, the things we can kind of use as a checkpoint so we can confirm our walk with Christ. And the three things he begins with are these: walking in the light, a pattern of obedience in your life, cleansed once and for all, cleansed by Jesus, and then confession and acknowledgement of sin. And we'll talk about what confession means. So let's just work our way through this passage. 1 John chapter 1, we're going to look today at 5 through 10. Here's verse 5. John says, this is the message we heard from him. Remember in the first four verses, John said, I want you to know I was with Jesus. I saw him. I heard him. I watched him do miracles. He was amazing. I walked with him on the roads. I rubbed shoulders with him. After he died, was buried, and rose from the dead, he invited us to touch him. We were with Jesus. Now John is saying the message that he gave, the message of salvation, we heard it from him, And now we proclaim it to you. We are shouting it from the rooftops. We're not going to keep it a secret. We're not going to live our entire life knowing Jesus, but not telling anybody else about it. Can you imagine that? John says, we're going to proclaim it. And here's the message in one synopsis, the gospel in these two lines with the comma in the middle. God is light. God is not a light. God is the source of light. God is the one who gives life. He's the source of all life, physical life, spiritual life. He is light, and he also reveals the path to us. He has given us his word so that we now, with him, can see what's going on around us. God is light. That's not a new concept, but it's something that John will use a lot in his writings. We read about it in Psalm 27. The Lord is my light, the psalmist writes. Psalm 104:2, he wraps himself in light. We heard it from Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And so John is saying, I've heard this message. God is light. He is the source of life. He's a revealer of how to follow him. And in him, there's no darkness at all. John will use the comparison of light and darkness a lot through his writings. And John does something else here. It is kind of unique to his writings. He loves to do a positive and then follow with a negative. In him is light. He is light. And in him is no darkness at all. That word is a strong negative. Not one ounce, not one iota of darkness. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Now, we know what it is to live in the light. We can see. We know where we're headed. And we know what it is to be in the dark. Just imagine a time when you were in pitch black darkness, where you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. You can't see where you're headed. You can't see what's behind you, to your right or left, up or down. You are frozen. You're paralyzed. And John uses this analogy to speak about our spiritual life. Where you're in the light, since God is light, walking with him, or we're in a darkness, spiritual darkness, with no context of anything spiritual around us. 1 John 1:6. Remember, John said, I write these things so that you can what? Know you have eternal life. John says, God is light. In him is no darkness. So, if we say, if we make this profession, that we have fellowship with him, that we are connected to him, that we are participating in life with him, that we have a partnership with God, if we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, the word walk means the habitual pattern of life. So if we say, yeah, I'm a believer, I have fellowship with God, but we are walking in darkness, internally and externally, then John says, we lie. And the truth is not in us. You can be religious and be just as much in the darkness as a murderer. In fact, who did Jesus confront most of the time in Scripture? The Pharisees, right? They looked religious, but they were in total darkness. John wants us to be certain that we have salvation. He wants us to know with certainty. I grew up in a church that did not teach, did not believe assurance of salvation, eternal security. So I was taught you could be a Christian and lose your salvation. That's bad theology. But there's only one thing more dangerous than that. Thinking you're a believer and not being one. It's one thing to be a believer and kind of be all over the board. It's another thing more dangerous to think you're a believer because I did that baptism thing or because I did that confirmation thing or whatever. I go to church, I give my money. At the end of the day, the person who does not have assurance, they're a believer, they're going to be welcomed home. And what's Jesus going to say? Welcome home, even with your bad theology. But the person who's not a believer and thinks they are, what's Jesus going to say? I didn't even know you. Depart from me. There's another camp, knowing with good theology. And that's what John is trying to teach here. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, so we say we have this fellowship with God and he's the source of light. So if we have fellowship with the light, we're going to be walking in the light. That's the pattern of our life. Then we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with the living God. Nothing better than that. We have fellowship with God. And here's the reason why. Because the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. When you read blood in Scripture, then just think of the work of Christ. His death, his burial, his resurrection. The work of Christ cleanses us from all sin. We were living in the darkness, and God interrupted our life. He caused us to follow Jesus. We trusted in Jesus, and it's the work of Jesus on the cross that cleanses us from all sin. By the way, that word cleanses there is in what's called the perfect tense, and that's important because that means one time for all time. That means what happened in the past continues in the future. That means once you've been cleansed by Jesus, you will always be cleansed by Jesus. You'll never be in the darkness again. You'll never be dirty again. And this word here, sin, is talking about our sinful nature, not specific sins. We were separated from God because we were a sinner. God interrupted our life. Jesus did all the work for us. We trusted in Christ as the only way, not a good way, or one of the ways, the only way to have a relationship with the living God. And his work cleanses us from all sin. Now, if God cleanses us from all sin, is it possible that we could live a life that's perfect and not sin? See how John would answer that. Look at verse 8. John says to believers, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And check this out, the truth is not in us. John, are you sure? You just said we're walking in the light. We have fellowship with God. But now you're saying, if we say we have no sin, the truth's not in us. John, are you sure? And he said, yeah, I'm sure. In fact, I'm going to repeat it in verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. John, what do you mean? Well, John would say, haven't you read his word? Haven't you ever read the Old Testament? Do you see the people in the Old Testament that God chose to be his people? Guys like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were chosen by God. They loved God. God had fellowship with them. Undeniable. And yet, there were times when they didn't tell the truth. There were times when they doubted. There were times when they sinned. How about David, a man after God's own heart? You think David had fellowship with God? Absolutely. But committed adultery. Planned the murder of the woman's husband. If you say you have no sin, we are a liar and the truth isn't in us. So what do we do with that? 1 John 1:9. Mark it, memorize it, use it often. 1 John 1:9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. If we say we have no sin, We are a liar, and God's word isn't in us. But if we confess our sins, the sins I committed this morning in my thoughts or word or deed, the sins I'll commit this afternoon in my words or thoughts or deeds. When we confess our sins, he is both faithful and just to forgive us our sins, plural, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word confess in Greek is two words. One word means the same thing, and the other word means to say. So it means to say the same thing. To say the same thing as another, generally, but here, John is saying, confess means to say the same thing as God. So when we confess our sins, we are saying, God, here's what you say. I'm going to say the same thing. You're right. You said not to do this, and I am saying the same thing. I shouldn't have done it. I agree with you. That is sin. Now, how do we know what God is saying? How do we know what we should confess? That's why we have to be in God's word every day, or we're not going to be a believer who confesses his or her sins. And confession doesn't mean, God, you're right, I confess, I'm moving on, I'm doing the same thing again. Confession means, you're right, I agree with you, I'm sorry, I repent, I want to change my ways. And I got to tell you, sometimes, Hebrews says sin is pleasurable for a season. So sometimes my prayer is, God, you're right, I'm wrong, I did it again, and I want to do it again. So my prayer is, give me the desire not to sin like that again. That's my confession. Our sin nature separates us from God. But when we're a believer, we've trusted in him. Now we walk in the light, and our sins do not separate us from God. They do, however, mess up our fellowship. And that's why we're always wanting to get back in relationship with God. We're not going to do it perfectly. How many of you, when you were a child, ever did something your parents told you not to do? Two hands go up right there. When you did that, did you stop becoming a child of your parents? You can't change that. Did it cause a little tension in your relationship? Did it make things a little uncomfortable in your relationship? Were you as close with your mom or your dad or whoever you sinned against while you were still sinning? No, but you're still a child. And so when we follow Jesus, when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with him. And when we sin, it doesn't mean we're not his child. Remember, this all came about by the blood of Jesus. He's the one who did all the work. It doesn't mean we're not his child anymore. It means that we don't have that close fellowship with him. We know that. We know when we're in the word and when we're living a life of general obedience, we have more fellowship with God. We hear from him. We're convicted more easily. There's a tenderness of heart. But when we're off on our own, we haven't read the word for a while, doing our own thing, we don't have that fellowship with God. And so John says, confess your sins to him. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. Check this out. He's faithful. He will do what he promised to do. He always does what he promised he'll do. He's faithful and he's just. God has established the process where he has to forgive our sins. To be truthful, he has to forgive our sins. Why would God have to forgive our sins? Because he sent his son to die for our sins. And he told us when we trust in Jesus, he put our sins on Jesus. And so the just judge, we come to him as his son or daughter, and we say, I agree with you. I sinned. And he says, I'm going to do what I said I'd do. I said I'd forgive you, and I have to do it because your sins have been paid for by Jesus. You're just acknowledging that fact. That's what we're acknowledging in confession. I am bringing my sin to you. I am sorry for doing it. I don't want to do it again. I'm bringing it to you. It's been paid for by Jesus. So you are faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me. That word is not the initial cleansing that places us in the light. This would be like a spot cleansing, scrubbing off those sins. Now, there's got to be a limit to confession. I mean, how many times is God going to listen when you go back to him with that same worn out sin? Don't you think after a while he just said, I can't hear that anymore. No, I'm not going to forgive that one. There's never in Scripture a place where God says, this is how many times I'll forgive your sin. But there's a story that helps us draw a conclusion. Remember when Peter went to Jesus? And Peter was pretty proud of this statement. He said, hey, Jesus, how many times should I forgive someone who sins against me? How about 7 times? Like, wow, that's a lot. 7 times. Remember what Jesus said? No, Peter. 70 times 7. Now, Jesus didn't mean 490 times. And then the 491, no. What Jesus was saying is 70 times 7, you just keep doing it. Keep forgiving those who have sinned against you. And why do we do that? Because our example is our Heavenly Father who keeps forgiving us again and again. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But John writes this so we can know, not hope, not think, not wait for the end to see if our good deeds outweigh our bad. But John says, I'm going to write this so you can know with certainty that you are a child of God and will forever be. Because when you know that with certainty, there is freedom and there's confidence. And you can live loving God, the Heavenly Father, and demonstrating that to the world. Does that mean we have a license to sin? Absolutely not. If someone says, well, I can sin to my heart's content, because 1 John 1, if someone says that, I got to say, time out. Are you really walking in the light? Because that is more of what someone in the darkness would say. But I got to tell you, because I live both. When you know that you know that you know, the burden is lifted. And you know that you can live a life that pleases him, not perfectly. But he is there, faithful and just, to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Prayer, that word and the practice of it, fills you with great hope and struggling doubt. You wonder, what precisely is prayer? And how can I pray in a way that God hears and responds to me? Those are the questions answered in Ron Moore's insightful devotional titled, Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life. During this month-long journey, you'll learn how living in awe of God, submitting to His will, and resting in daily dependence on Him can make prayer engaging and effective. Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
Do you know, without any doubt, that you have trusted in Jesus Christ alone, and that the wrath of God has been taken, intercepted by Jesus, and you get freedom and eternal life instead? Can you think of a greater gift? Jesus takes our wrath. We get eternal life.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please drop by our website to order your copy of Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life. This daily devotional will give your prayer time purpose and joy. Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life, is available for a gift of any amount when you visit us at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Also, we invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Rostraber, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.